Let's go to 2 Chronicles tonight, chapter 34. At one point, we will go to 2 Kings, but seems best to work from 2 Chronicles this evening. If you can recall back, it's been a couple weeks now. We finished the reign of Hezekiah. Then we looked at Manasseh. And remember, he was the one who was probably the most wicked, but then the last 7 years of his reign, he did get saved and attempted to turn things around, but it was too little too late at that point. We looked at the reign of Amon, and that brings us now to Josiah, where we'll pick up this evening. So, 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verses 1 and 2. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. He did right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of his father David, and did not turn aside to the right or to the left. And we did look last time at his parents. His father was Amon. His mother's name was Jedidah. And he was born in 648 B.C. His grandfather Manasseh was still living, and Manasseh was saved by the time Josiah was born. Amon was murdered by his own servants. So Josiah was 8 years old when he was made king. So that's what we see, and verse 2 is a great summary statement of his life. Verses 3 through 7, reformation in Jerusalem and outlying areas. Verse 3, for in the 8th year of his reign, while he was still a youth, he began to seek the God of his father David, and in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the Asherim, the carved images, and the molten images. They tore down the altars of the Baals in his presence, and the incense altars that were high above them he chopped down. Also the Asherim, the carved images, and the molten images he broke in pieces and ground to powder and scattered it on the graves of those who had sacrificed to them. Then he burned the bones of the priests on their altars and purged Judah and Jerusalem in the cities of Manasseh, Ephraim, Simeon, even as far as Naphtali in their surrounding ruins. He also tore down the altars and beat the Asherim and the carved images into powder and chop down all the incense altars throughout the land of Israel. Then he returned to Jerusalem. Now in verse 3, the reference to his 8th year would be 632 BC, and that is when Josiah was 16 years of age. So at 16 years of age, Josiah was following the Lord wholly. Verse 3 also has the 12th year of his reign. That would have been 628 BC. So at age 20, Josiah begins this purge of all of the Baal altars, the Asherim, not only in Jerusalem, but all throughout the land, even into the north in Israel, which is now under Assyrian rule. This is a time of reformation. Beginning at verse 8, we see that he begins temple repair. So verse 8 through verse 13, in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Messiah, an official of the city, and Joah, the son of Joahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. They came to Hilkiah the high priest and delivered the money that was brought into the house of God, which the Levites, the doorkeepers, had collected from Manasseh and Ephraim, and from all the remnant of Israel, and from all Judah and Benjamin, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Then they gave it into the hands of the workmen who had the oversight of the house of the Lord, and the workmen who were working in the house of the Lord used it to restore and repair the house. They in turn gave it to the carpenters and to the builders to buy quarried stone and timber for couplings and to make beams for the houses which the kings of Judah had let go to ruin. For the men did the work faithfully with foremen over them to supervise, Jahath and Obadiah, the Levites of the sons of Merari, Zechariah and Meshulam of the sons of the Kohathites, and the Levites, all who were skillful with musical instruments. They were also over the burden bearers and supervised all the workmen from job to job, and some of the Levites were scribes and officials and gatekeepers. So you read in verse 8, this is now the 18th year of Josiah's reign, or 622 BC, and he's now age 26. So from age 20 to age 26, he's purging the idols and beginning to reform the nation. Now at age 26, he begins the temple repair. You'll notice he raised money for this. that came through the hands of the Levites, and it came from all over the land. And that should remind you of Jehoash, who became king when he was 7 years old, but he also raised funds from all over for the refurbishing of the temple. And Josiah did that as well. So they're working on the temple, repairing it. And as they're doing that, something amazing happens. Verses 14 through 18. When they were bringing out the money which had been brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. Hilkiah responded and said to Shaphan the scribe, "I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan. Then Shaphan brought the book to the king and reported further word to the king, saying, "Everything that was entrusted to your servants, they are doing. They have also emptied out the money which was found in the house of the Lord and have delivered it into the hands of the workmen, hands of the supervisors and the workmen. Moreover, Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, 'Hilkiah the priest gave me a book,' and Shaphan read from it in the presence of the king." Now, what has happened here? The book of the law of God was known and used during the reign of Hezekiah. Remember, he had revival in his reign. But then Manasseh and Amon, over a long period of time, Manasseh 50 plus years and Amon 2 years, so you know, almost 60 years. The Bible got lost in the temple. Now, that should make you wonder, what in the world were the priests doing for 60 years? They obviously hadn't been studying the Bible, had they? They apparently hadn't been teaching it either. We might say this is like the Bible getting lost in church. You know? Which, by the way, in quite a few churches across our land, you can go to church and never crack a Bible. I trust that has not been true here throughout these years. We refer to it every time we meet, but it had been lost in the temple. And when they were working on the temple and they found some additional money in the temple, along with that, probably stuck away in the treasury somewhere, was the book, the scroll of the law of Moses. Wow. And so they found it. Hilkiah knew what it was, and Shaphan took it to Josiah and began reading from it to Josiah. Now, in verses 19 through 21, we see Josiah's reaction. And all of this information is in 2 Kings as well. And in 2 Kings, the wording is maybe a little stronger with the reaction, but it's basically the same. So 2 Chronicles 34 at verse 19, it came about when the king heard the words of the law that he tore his clothes. Then the king commanded Hilkiah, Ahikam the son of Shaphan, Abdon the son of Micah, Shaphan the scribe, and Azaiah the king's servant, saying, Go inquire of the Lord for me, and for those who are left in Israel and in Judah, concerning the words of the book which has been found, for great is the wrath of the Lord which is poured out on us because our fathers have not observed the word of the Lord to do according to all that is written in this book. So Josiah realizes this is the word of the Lord that got lost, and our fathers have neglected it. Go find out what impact has that had all throughout the land. You know, what do people know about the law of Moses throughout Judah and Israel? Go find out. And Josiah realized this was a very bad situation. So that is his reaction. In case you don't know, the tearing of his clothes is a shocking sign of horror at something. And often, you know, people would say it's the beginning of a time of regret over this sin. So that is his reaction. Verses 22 through 28, we see a consultation with a prophetess by the name of Huldah. So Hilkiah, verse 22, and those whom the king had told, went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tokath, the son of Hazra, the keeper of the wardrobe. Now she lived in Jerusalem in the second quarter. And they spoke to her regarding this. She said to them, Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, Tell the man who sent you to me, Thus says the Lord, Behold, I am bringing evil on this place and on its inhabitants, even all the curses written in the book which they have read in the presence of the king of Judah. because they have forsaken me and have burned incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath will be poured out on this place, and it shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus you will say to him, thus says the Lord God of Israel regarding the words which you have heard. Because your heart was tender, and you humbled yourself before God when you heard his words against this place and against its inhabitants, and because you humbled yourself before me, tore your clothes and wept before me, I truly have heard you, declares the Lord. Behold, I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace. So your eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring on this place and on its inhabitants. And they brought back word to the king. So Huldah is prophesying the curses that the law pronounces against idolatry. Those will come to pass, but they are not going to come to pass while Josiah is king, because Josiah humbled himself before the Lord and his word. So on that basis, beginning at verse 29, we see Josiah renewing the covenant with the Lord. Verse 29, the king sent and gathered all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. The king went up to the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests, the Levites, and all the people, from the greatest to the least. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. So what did he read? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That would have taken a little while. Verse 31, then the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant written in the book. Moreover, he made all who were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand with him. So the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. Josiah removed all the abominations from all the lands belonging to the sons of Israel. That's quite a statement, isn't it? Yeah. And made all who were present in Israel to serve the Lord their God. Throughout his lifetime, they did not turn from following the Lord God of their fathers. So the reforming of the nation will begin, and for this you can keep your place here in 2 Chronicles, But we need to go to 2 Kings now. 2 Kings chapter 23, beginning at verse 4. Then the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest and the priests of the second order and the doorkeepers to bring out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal, for Asherah. And remember, Ammon had put them there in the temple. And so Josiah had them taken out. And he burned them outside Jerusalem in the fields of the Kidron and carried their ashes to Bethel. He did away with the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Judah had appointed to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah and in the surrounding area of Jerusalem. Also those who burned incense to Baal, to the sun and to the moon and to the constellations and to all the hosts of heaven. He brought out the Asherah from the house of the Lord outside Jerusalem to the brook Kidron and burned it at the brook Kidron and ground it to dust and threw its dust on the graves of the common people. He also broke down the houses of the male cult prostitutes, which were in the house of the Lord, where the women were weaving hangings for the Asherah. Then he brought all the priests from the cities of Judah and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense from Geba to Beersheba, and he broke down the high places of the gates which were at the entrance of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were on one's left at the city gate. Nevertheless, the priests of the high places did not go up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they ate unleavened bread among their brothers. He also defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or daughter pass through the fire for Molech. He did away with the horses which the kings of Judah had given to the sun at the entrance of the house of the Lord, by the chamber of Nathan-Melech, the official, which was in the precincts, and he burned the chariots of the sun with fire. The altars which were on the roof, the upper chamber of Ahaz, which the kings of Judah had made, and the altars which Manasseh had made in the two courts of the house of the Lord, the king broke down. And he smashed them there and threw their dust into the brook Kidron. The high places which were before Jerusalem, which were on the right of the Mount of Destruction, which Solomon the king of Israel had built for Ashtaroth the abomination of the Sidonians, and for Chemosh the abomination of Moab, and for Milcom the abomination of the sons of Ammon, the king defiled. He broke in pieces the sacred pillars and cut down the Asherim and filled their places with human bones. Furthermore, the altar that was at Bethel and the high place which Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel sin, had made, even that altar and the high place he broke down. Then he demolished its stones and ground them to dust and burned the Asherah. So that whole section, you see a total wiping out of all false worship, not just Baal and Asherah, but sun and moon worship, astrology, all of that, as well as temple prostitution, all of that is wiped out. Josiah made a very clean sweep of this. Now, 2 Kings 23, verse 16. When Josiah turned, he saw the graves that were there on the mountain. This is at Bethel. And he sent and took the bones from the graves and burned them on the altar and defiled it according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed. Who proclaimed these things? Now, do you remember the man of God? Okay, you have to go back to 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 2. He is an unnamed man of God. We don't know his name. But he predicted this would happen. He predicted it more than two centuries ahead of time that this would happen. So verse 16 is a fulfillment of 1 Kings 13:2. Remember that unnamed man of God was the guy who confronted Jeroboam. That was Jeroboam the first of Israel. Verse 17, then he said, what is this monument that I see? And the men of the city told him, it is the grave of the man of God who came from Judah and proclaimed these things which you have done against the altar of Bethel. So Josiah said, verse 18, let him alone, let no one disturb his bones. So they left his bones undisturbed with the bones of the prophet who came from Samaria. And remember, that prophet that came from Samaria was a prophet who had lied to the unnamed man of God, and then he was buried in that grave. So they left that in honor of this unnamed man of God. Verse 19, Josiah also removed all the houses of the high places which were in the cities of Samaria, which the kings of Israel had made, provoking the Lord, and he did to them just as he had done in Bethel. All the priests of the high places who were there, he slaughtered on the altars and burned human bones on them. Then he returned to Jerusalem. Wow. Wiped it out, including the false priests who had been doing Baal and Asherah worship and obviously had been neglecting the Word of God for years. So Josiah had them killed. Going back now to 2 Chronicles, chapter 35, we see the great Passover. 2 Chronicles 35:1, then Josiah celebrated the Passover to the Lord in Jerusalem. And they slaughtered the Passover animals on the 14th day of the first month, which is when they were supposed to. He set the priests in their offices, so assigned new priests, and encouraged them in the service of the house of the Lord. He also said to the Levites, who taught all Israel and who were holy to the Lord, put the holy ark in the house which Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, built. It will be a burden on your shoulders no longer. Now serve the Lord your God and his people Israel. So this is the Ark of the Covenant. Put it back in the Holy of Holies. Verse 4, prepare yourselves by your father's households in your divisions according to the writing of David, king of Israel, and according to the writing of his son Solomon. Moreover, stand in the holy place according to the sections of the father's households of your brethren, the lay people, and according to the Levites by division of a father's household. Now slaughter the Passover animals, sanctify yourselves, and prepare for your brethren to do according to the word of the Lord by Moses. So one of the first things Josiah saw in the law of God is they're supposed to do Passover. And so he's now commanding that this be done. Verse 7, Josiah contributed to the lay people, to all who were present, flocks of lambs and young goats, all for the Passover offerings, numbering 30,000 plus 3,000 bulls. These were from the king's possessions. Wow, think of the Sadducees in Jesus' day. When people showed up and didn't have a lamb, the Sadducees did what? They sold it to them. Josiah didn't sell anything to any. He gave it away out of his own possessions. Wow. Verse 8, his officers also contributed a freewill offering to the people, the priests and the Levites, Hilkiah and Zechariah, Jehiel, the officials of the house of God, gave to the priests for the Passover offerings 2,600 from the flocks and 300 bulls. Conaniah also, and Shemaiah and Nethanel, his brothers, and Hashabiah and Jael and Josabad, the officers of the Levites, contributed to the Levites for the Passover offerings, 5,000 from the flocks and 500 bulls. Those names in verse 9, that's Josiah's family. So his brothers. And note Conaniah, he will show up later as he becomes king, known as Jehoiakim, Conaniah. Verse 10, so the service was prepared, and the priests stood at their stations, and the Levites by their divisions according to the king's command. They slaughtered the Passover animals, and while the priests sprinkled the blood received from their hand, the Levites skinned them. Then they removed the burnt offerings that they might give them to the sections of the fathers' households of the lay people to present to the Lord, as it is written in the book of Moses. They did this also with the bulls. So they roasted the Passover animals on the fire according to the ordinance, and they boiled the holy things in pots, in kettles, in pans, and carried them speedily to all the lay people. Afterwards, they prepared for themselves and for the priests, because the priests, the sons of Aaron, were offering the burnt offerings and the fat until night. Therefore, the Levites prepared for themselves and for the priests, the sons of Aaron. The singers and the sons of Asaph were also at their stations according to the command of David, Asaph, Heman, and Jeduthun, the king's seer, and the gatekeepers at each gate did not have to depart from their service, because the Levites, their brethren, prepared for them. So all the service of the Lord was prepared on that day to celebrate the Passover and to offer burnt offerings on the altar of the Lord according to the command of King Josiah. Thus the sons of Israel who were present celebrated the Passover at that time and the Feast of Unleavened Bread 7 days. There had not been celebrated a Passover like it in Israel since the days of Samuel the prophet. Wow. So this was the most thrilling Passover since Samuel. Nor had any of the kings of Israel celebrated such a Passover as Josiah did with the priests, the Levites, all Judah and Israel who were present, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And notice verse 19, in the 18th year of Josiah's reign, this Passover was celebrated. Now the 18th year, that means it's still 622 BC. So the beginning of temple repair, the finding of the scroll, all of the reforming of the nation, the cleaning out of all the idols and all of that, and this Passover, all occurred in the same year on the Jewish calendar. So that doesn't mean between January and May. It means probably between October and May in that year. The summary then of Josiah's reign, 2 Chronicles 35, starting at verse 20. After all this, when Josiah had set the temple in order, Necho, king of Egypt, who's a pharaoh, came up to make war at Carchemish on the Euphrates. The Battle of Carchemish is a pretty famous historical battle. Make war at Carchemish on the Euphrates. And Josiah went out to engage him. Not quite sure why Josiah thought he had to do that, but he did. Verse 21, but Necho sent messengers to him saying, what have we to do with each other, O king of Judah? I am not coming against you today, but against the house with which I am at war, and God has ordered me to hurry. So I'm going after Babylon. I'm not going after Judah. I'm going after Babylon, Pharaoh Necho says. Stop for your own sake from interfering with God who is with me, that he may not destroy you. However, Josiah would not turn away from him, but disguised himself in order to make war with him. Nor did he listen to the words of Necho from the mouth of God, but came to make war on the plain of Megiddo. The archers shot King Josiah, and the king said to his servants, "Take me away, for I am wounded." So his servants took him out of the chariot and carried him in the second chariot which he had and brought him to Jerusalem, where he died and was buried in the tombs of his fathers. All Judah and Jerusalem mourned for Josiah. Then Jeremiah chanted a lament for Josiah, and all the male and female singers speak about Josiah in their lamentations to this day. And they made them an ordinance in Israel. Behold, they are also written in the Lamentations. Now the rest of the acts of Josiah and his deeds of devotion as written in the law of the Lord and his acts first to last, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. So it does seem from 622 BC, when there was the finding of the law and a time of revival, until 609 BC, when Josiah was killed by Pharaoh Necho, there were a good 12 plus years of peace in Judah and godliness in Judah under the reign of King Josiah. It again, in the patience of the Lord, allowed more years for the history of Judah before the Babylonian captivity. But was it enough? No. So next time we will look at the last of the southern kings, the kings of Judah, before the Babylonian captivity. So you learn from this. I mean, there was revival under Hezekiah. It helped. Did it last indefinitely? No. There was revival under Josiah. Did it help? Yes. Did it last indefinitely? No. So we thank the Lord for the response of Josiah, who, when he heard the words of the law of Moses, when he heard the Bible read to him, he responded in faith and obedience to what he heard. So it's not a bad guy to have my grandson born last week named after. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the testimony of Josiah. Lord, may your people always have that reaction to your word, to respond to what they read and hear, and to respond quickly in faith, and faith that leads to obedience. And so, Lord, we do thank you for your patience as well, and for those additional years that you gave to Judah at the time of his reign. Lord, now as we pray this evening, and Lord, we do pray that there will be revival in our land and around the world, but Lord, we do recognize we are at a point where even if it comes, it is but a short reprieve for the rapture of the church, the coming tribulation period on the earth. These things are impending. And so, Lord, as we pray tonight, may we pray looking to you, trusting you, believing your word, in Jesus' name. Amen.